Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is from our gospel lesson from John chapter 10, where Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." This is our text. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, as many of you know, as most of you know, parents spend a lot of time picking out names for their children. I know when our son David was born, while we had the name David picked out almost right away, it wasn't until we were on the way to the hospital for the second time that day that we were able to agree on his middle name. And the reason why we spend so much time picking out those names for our children is because names are just very important. They come to be your identifier for the rest of your life. Notice, for example, that you don't see a whole lot of people named Adolf these days, with the exception of our beloved Cy Zeisler, who was born long before World War II. Names have meanings. The name Stephen, for instance, is from the Greek word Stephanos, which means crown, or more precisely, that which surrounds. And the name David, not only my son, but my esteemed co-worker, is from the Hebrew name meaning beloved. Kind of fits. Then there's Daniel. Daniel also is from a Hebrew word that means God is my judge. The fact of the matter is that as we get to know a person's name, we get to know who and what that person is all about. And so for our benefit, you will know that, at least according to one website, there are more than 956 names or titles for God in the Bible. And so you see, the more that God reveals his names to us, the more we get to know about him and what he is all about. And so today, we take a look at one of those very special names when Jesus himself calls himself the Good Shepherd. Now, our text for today in John chapter 10 comes after one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, John chapter 9, where in John 9, Jesus heals that man who was born blind. This man is just sitting there begging. I mean, he's a total bystander. And the disciples see him once again, and they ask about his condition and why he was born blind. So to make a point, Jesus heals the man by having him go and wash in a pool, and then the man is brought before the Pharisees. And it's interesting that the Pharisees end up being instruments in bringing the man to full faith in Jesus. And after this whole chapter describes the way in which this man is brought to faith, the way Jesus shepherds him to faith using the Pharisees, we see Jesus in John chapter 10 use this image of him being the good shepherd. And so our text for today begins, "I am the good shepherd." Notice he doesn't say, "I am like a good shepherd," or "I am similar to a good shepherd." He says, "I am the good shepherd." Just as a few verses before, he says, "I am the door." You see, Jesus, especially in the book of John, uses a number of I am statements. And these statements are meant to connect him to the God who speaks from the burning bush to Moses and says that his name is I Am. So by saying that I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus is revealing himself as the divine Son of the one eternal God. And that's why I think John chapter 9 is so important. Because there Jesus demonstrates what it is like for him to be a shepherd in leading that man who was born blind to faith. But then in John chapter 10, he gets right down to the point of our lesson for today when he says, I am the Good Shepherd. And the Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. And so while we can look at all the attributes of a good shepherd, someone who will lead the sheep, someone who will protect the sheep, someone who will make sure that the sheep are well fed and well watered, someone who will watch over the mommy sheep while they give birth to the baby sheep, the list could go on and on and on. But the most significant role of the good shepherd is to lay down his life for the sheep. And that, in fact, was Jesus' mission from the very first day when he was laying in that manger in Bethlehem. And more than that, it was his mission from all eternity, even before the world was created. To be sure, we as God's people need to be fed. If we're not fed well, we're going to die. And we need to be protected from the wolves of this world, or those world's wolves could get at us, and again, we could die. Our shepherd needs to provide us with water for our health. The whole truth of the matter is that if we are on our own, we are weak and insecure. We need a shepherd. We need a savior. Out in the world, there are many, many ways that you can choose to protect yourself from the dangers of the world. And you know, Satan makes a lot of those ways look very, very appealing to us. But there is, in reality, only one Savior of the world who watches and provides for us while we are here in the world and who makes sure that we are part of the world to come. And that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As Jesus says, the hired hand is just going to run away when he sees danger, but not Jesus. Jesus created us. Jesus literally owns us. And he is going to take on any danger head on, just as we see him do on the cross. He faced death, and he was victorious. The wolves of this world, they just seek to devour us. They just seek to scatter us. And once they get us scattered out on our own, we are in trouble. We are left vulnerable and insecure. But if we stay near our good shepherd, if we keep him close, then as we see in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, and nothing can take away our salvation. While we will always be vulnerable in this world, our good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is in control, and he will be watching over us. Jesus and his holy angels are on our side against Satan and his evil angels. And our Lord gives us his word and our sacraments to feed us and to strengthen us, to keep our faith strong and to keep us from danger. And so if Jesus is our shepherd, than we are the sheep. And there are many similarities between the behavior of sheep and the way that the church behaves and runs. Sheep are best known for their strong flocking and following instinct. They will run from whatever frightens them, and they'll band together in large groups for protection. That banding together is the only protection that they have from predators, because there's safety in numbers. It is harder for a predator to pick out a sheep in a group than it is to gather one that goes off and strays. When one sheep moves, the rest follow. Unfortunately, even if it's not a good idea. That flocking and following instinct of sheep is so strong that it caused the death of 400 sheep in 2006 in eastern Turkey. You see, this one sheep took off and tried to cross a 50-foot ravine, and the rest of the flock followed, and 400 of them plunged to their death. Even from birth, lambs are taught to follow the older members of the flock. Ewes are encouraged their lambs to follow. The dominant members of their flock lead the submissive ones, and if there's a ram in the flock, he's the one that leads. And so this flocking instinct and this following instinct is what makes it so easy for the shepherd and the sheepdog. Sheep really do learn to follow the shepherd's voice, and they only follow him. Just as we follow Jesus' voice and listen to him in his word. That's a very good visual for us in the church, seeing this flocking and following of the sheep, because we gather together and we follow our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the Good Shepherd. We hear his voice and we listen to him alone. He calls us to follow, and we follow. It serves to protect us in this world while we're still here, and it leads us to the world to come, where we will truly be one flock and where there won't be any danger anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.